Enjoyed the music today, haven't you? And by the way, I really thought it was a neat deal that when the chief talked about what I was going to preach on, he said these words. He said, make sure they get splash Jesus on them. I'm telling you, use that phrase. He said, splash a little, they need a little Jesus, he said. Splash a little Jesus. I hope you've been splashing Jesus around a little bit. Some of y'all remember the revival meeting, so I think it'd be good for us to remember that weekly if I can bring it up. And tremendous, tremendous, anyway, broken and splashing Jesus. But lastly, it's good to have you. Why don't you come on and show your video and preach for us, all right? How long have we supported you?
A long time.
14, yeah, you're right up there with Daniel Coates, a long time. So, yeah. Leslie, appreciate you.
Thank you, brother. Amen. What a joy it is to be here tonight. We are the Leslie family, and appreciate your church and everything you've done for us over the years through your prayers and giving. I told Brother Crawford that our Bible project was started because of your church, and I don't know if to thank you or be upset at you because it's been a lot of work, but it's almost finished. We got about a year and a half left to have the complete Bible, maybe two. We're trying to do the best we can as quick as we can. And there's only 11 books left in the Old Testament. Doesn't that sound exciting? Amen. It does until you find out it's Isaiah, 1st, 2nd Kings, 1st, 2nd Chronicles. He did all the minor prophets first because he thought, you know, at least we make it feel like we're getting some traction here. And but what a joy it is to be here with your church and what you do for the Lord and for missions. And just want you to know that Bible has gone all over Croatia. We have groups that are requesting it. We give it to anybody that wants it, that'll read it, because the Word of God doesn't have a copyright on it, and it's for all people, not just Baptists. And I am a Baptist, by the way, and I'm ashamed of that. But we give the Bible to everybody that wants it. They can have it, and we've sent it out to Pentecostal groups and brethren groups, and anybody that'll take the Bible and pass it out and read it, as long as they don't try to change it and give it out. And so that Bible, it's went all every major city of Croatia. It's been into Bosnia, Serbia, which speak the same language, have received the Bible. It's also went to Munich, Germany, which there's a pocket of Croatians there that have requested the Bible. A group in Switzerland have requested it. And so it's just amazing what God is doing, how that thing is, you know, because the Word of God is powerful. It'll change lives. And if we can get it in the hands of people, it'll change them. And so, you know, I'm telling you this because it all started right here, but you were in the other, when you were renting over there, the IBFI buildings is when it happened. And, you know, I didn't even, you know, I was praying about a Bible project and everything, and then y'all winded up doing something about it, and I got stuck with it, and here we are, you know, but God was in it, of course, and God did it. And I just want to thank you for it. You also printed the first New Testament. I was talking to Brother Crawford about it. And that is, we still have a few copies, and they are going out, and being able to get those out. So praise the Lord for that. Pray for us. We're hoping to get the Bible done a year and a half, and then we'll try to get the whole thing printed. And you know, you couldn't imagine what it'd be like to be in church and not have a good Bible. I mean, it's our greatest need. Our people, they got a good New Testament now in the Psalms, so I preach a lot out of the New Testament. But it's hard to preach out of the New Testament without going back to the Old Testament. And so we do have a Catholic Old Testament we use. It's the best we have. So on our pulpit, or I always have to carry two Bibles. All our people carry two Bibles. And the New Testament's good. The other one, we have to be careful with it. But I can't wait for the day that they get a Bible that's complete and whole. And just pray for it, if you will. And God's been good to us. You know, I'm going to tell you a little bit more about that in just a moment. But these last 3 years has probably been the most fruitful in our ministry. Croatia, every mission field is different, if I could tell you that. You know, I love Brother Haynes. He's one of my friends, and what they're doing in the Navajo Reservation. I've got friends in the Philippines, and there's great things happening there. But every place is different. What I've learned in the ministry is that it's not so much about winning souls as it is warning souls. And you have just as much part in missions when you give to missions and the missionaries warning people consistently. You know, because we can't get anybody saved. All we can do is tell them. And it's wonderful when they do get saved. I love it. You'll meet some people in just a minute in our video that got saved. But I've learned that it's all really about warning people. Warning everybody we can, not only around the world, but right here in Haslett, Texas, and Fort Worth, Texas, and all this area, trying to tell people there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. So let's go right into the video. It'll tell you a little bit about what's going on. So, well, amen. Again, I want to thank you for supporting us. Oh, I'm not using this anymore. In Croatia, we don't use technology. We just yell real loud. But this is a big building, so I'm glad you've got technology. So please take your Bibles, and I want to ask you to do something. Just turn to the Psalms, and brother, he asked me what I was preaching to put a title on it. I just scratched that one out, and I'll give you one later. So, I want to ask you to turn to Psalm 142, and I remember when Brother Crawford and I were in Bible college, and they used to have what they call Preach Fest, and they'd give you 5 minutes to preach, and the other guy would be behind you and try to get you off the platform, you know, after the 5 minutes. And I remember when I first did that, I couldn't fill 5 minutes, you know, to say something in 5 minutes. And now, after being on the mission field for 14 years, I don't think I can say my name in 5 minutes, you know. And I had a sermon that I was going to preach, but I won't get past the introduction for sure on that. So I just want to give you something from my heart tonight. And I don't know which direction the Lord will take me. But I want you to look in Psalm 142. And if you would, stand with me, please, as we read the Word of God together. If that offends you, just be glad I didn't turn to Psalm 119, and you'll feel a whole lot better about it. I'm just kidding. The Bible says in verse number 1, I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before Him. I showed before Him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then Thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walked have they privately laid a snare for me. I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. Let's pray. Our Father, we love You. And God, we need You tonight. And God, I ask You in these few minutes that we have together that You'd meet with us. And Father, I've learned a long time ago, I don't need a good sermon. I need to be filled with the Spirit of God. And Father, I just ask You, please, to fill me. I pray, dear God, that You would just help me to be a blessing to Your people tonight, to be a challenge to them. And Father, I pray that You would please meet with us in a very special way. Please bless this church, dear God. Help them to continue on in all the things they're doing for You, Lord. Please bless every effort they're making. And God, I pray that You'd prosper them as a church. We pray this, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. In Croatia, I've gotten, and I don't know where it came from, I preach in Croatia now. I'm not going to do it tonight. Aren't you glad? Every service is in the Croatian language, and that was a chore in the beginning. It wasn't so easy to do. It's still not easy to do, and I used to have to write everything out by hand. But God began to work, and you know, and He'd give you more words and more thoughts and so forth, and it got to where I would do a sermon and have to do it in 3 weeks because I couldn't finish it in 1 week. And I thought, boy, praise God, where'd that come from, you know? And before, I couldn't hardly speak in Croatian. And so I would preach a sermon Sunday morning and then finish it Sunday night. Well, I started this sermon now this morning, so I'm going to finish it tonight. And hopefully it'll be a blessing to you. But let me just kind of quickly tell you what's happening. David is in a cave, and his enemies are after him. We don't really know what time of his life it is. Some believe it's when he was running from Saul. Others, maybe Absalom, but we don't know. Either way, he is definitely in danger. And folks are after him. And he's in a hard place in his life. And he says in verse number 3, or verse number 2, he says, I poured out my complaint before Him. I showed before Him my trouble. Now, I know we live in a day and age where folks have burdens, folks have problems, and we have things that we face maybe that we did not used to face, and sometimes we get overwhelmed with those problems. And if I could just encourage you tonight, is that when you have those problems and when you have those troubles and trials, do what David did. Look what he did. He says, I poured out my complaint not before some man, but before him. I showed before him my trouble. He's talking about the Lord. He took his problems and his complaint to the Lord. In verse 3, he says, when my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walk, have they privately laid a snare for me. He says, I was overwhelmed. And so he's turning to God in his affliction and his trial. And by the way, that's where you and I ought to turn when the problems of life get overwhelming, when the difficulties of life come down on you, and when you don't know what to do. I want you to know you ought to do what David did and just turn to the Lord when you're overwhelmed. Amen. By the way, I don't know if you knew this or not, but the God of the Bible is still God today. I believe the God that parted the Red Sea is still the God I serve today. He lives within me. And if you're born again today, He lives within you. And I believe that same God is still here today and can still do great and mighty things among us. But too many times what we do is we turn to this world for help instead of turning to God for help. But praise the Lord, there's an example like this in the Bible where David, when he didn't know what to do, he turned to the Lord. And it'd be good if we'd learn that lesson. And then in verse number 4, David said, I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. Now I understand David was a saved man. This isn't talking about the soul of a lost man. But at this point in his life, the Bible says he turned to his right hand and he beheld, and there was no man that would know me. Refuge, he couldn't find any help from man. And then he says a tragic statement. I believe it's the most tragic verse in the Bible. He says, no man cared for my soul. He said, I was looking for someone to care for me. I was looking for someone to help me. I needed a friend. I needed someone to help me carry these burdens. And I turned over here. I couldn't find anybody. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. And I got to thinking how true that is today. How true it is today. I got to thinking about people all around the world. People that are dying and going to hell without Christ. And I wonder, and I know you give to missions. We see the flags around here, and I understand this is a mission-giving church. I understand that. Praise God for that. But can I tell you something? There's something going on in 2014 that was not going on in 1998, or when Brother Crawford and I was in Bible college. You know, I remember a time when missionaries would come, and they would show their slide presentations. Back then it was slides. You remember that, Brother Crawford? Click, click, and some of them were real good at it. They knew to talk and leave it on there 3 seconds. Some would leave that slide and you'd learn about Grandma Moses and everything. Anyway, let's go on. But you know, it was slides. I used to have a slide presentation when I started out. But they would come by your church and they would show those slides. And I remember as I was sitting in church and I'd watch those slides, I remember looking around at our congregation and tears would be flowing down the faces of God's people. And I mean, people would be at the altars at the end and they'd be weeping over those souls because they thought, who is going to take the gospel to them? How can we get the gospel to them? They were truly, genuinely broken about it. Fast forward to 2014. I know we love missions. I understand that. Praise God for everything you do for missions. But when's the last time that you wept over a soul that was dying and going to hell? When's the last time you really, you know, yeah, I give to missions too, by the way. Don't think missionaries go to the field and they don't give. I give to missions. I'll just say that. Because see, being a missionary doesn't alleviate me from the responsibility to give into missions to my home church. I'm to get the gospel around the world. Every Christian is. And I tell folks, I've heard folks everywhere we go, and you know, we've been around this a little bit now, and we'd hear some people all the time say, God bless you, going to Croatia. I can never do that. And it just infuriates. Don't come to my table and tell me that, please. It bothers me. And let me tell you why. Because I believe that every born-again Christian ought to be willing to go to Croatia if God called them. I just believe that. I believe right now that your pastor is such a man, if God touched him and said, go to Africa, his heart is to that place, he'd go. I know God hadn't called him to Africa, I understand that, and his wife's real happy about it. I'm glad God didn't call me to Africa, to be honest with you. I was willing. I told God I'd go anywhere. Every Christian ought to be willing to go. Now, every Christian shouldn't have, you know, well, God's not going to call everybody, and Brother Crawford's going to be glad for that. You know, I remember hearing about the Moravian Brethren in Germany. That's one, some of our Anabaptist groups in history. And in Germany, they had to close their churches. They were literally closing down their churches. And the reason why, they were so mission-hearted, and the preachers were preaching so much about surrendering to missions. Over half the congregation was surrendering to be missionaries and leaving and go. And back then, they didn't raise support. You know, those were real missionaries. They just go. And so, they didn't have anybody left in the church. Do you imagine next Sunday, half the congregation stand up and say, Brother Crawford, I'm sorry, we're all going to Africa. Don't do that, okay? But I'm just telling you, a heart for God, a brokenness. No man cared for my soul. You know, as I thought about this thought, I thought, oh God, help me to care for souls. I give like you give. We're supposed to do that. I understand that. I know our heart wants to do that. That's why you do it. You make a sacrifice. I understand that. That's not what I'm talking about. I do the same thing. I'm talking about a genuine brokenness. I'm talking about young people that would get broken for some country and say, God, if you wanted me, I'd go there. God, I'd be willing to give up my life and just give it to you, Lord, if you wanted me to do that. I'm talking about caring for somebody. I'm talking about getting out of our little comfort zone and caring for someone else. You see, it takes action to care for someone's soul. It takes work to care for someone. It might take sacrifice to care for someone's soul. This thing you're doing with the first responders, I'm sure the church had to sacrifice something for that to happen. It takes effort to care for people. But can I tell you, it's worth it. It's worth it. I think back to Brother Crawford and I went to Bible college a little bit there together. I think you graduated before I did, I believe, and something like that. But I remember going to college with him and everything. I remember back then as God worked in my heart about missions and going to be a missionary, and I was willing to go anywhere. But you know, you don't know everything that's lying ahead of you. Just like Brother Crawford didn't know, you know, starting a church and all that, everything that goes with that. But you do it because God tells you to do it. And there's a lot of fears about that. How's it all going to work out? And God just comes through every time. And then I look back, and there were some hard times that we had to go through in Croatia. There was a lot of lonely times. 9 years, we were the only independent Baptist missionaries in the country. My kids grew up without friends because there were no other good Christian people they could be friends with. And by the way, parents, it'd be good if you control who your kids' friends are. I know he'll take care of that, and I'm getting on my soapbox right now, but it'd be good if you knew who their friends were. My kids weren't going to be allowed to hang out with anybody in the neighborhood. It's going to have to be somebody of like faith. So, and there wasn't any, so guess what? They had to go without friends. Our family was pretty close on the field because of that. We spent a lot of time together, and that's just how it was. It wasn't easy, but it's worth it. No man cared for my soul. My family and I went to Croatia. And there are literally person after person that's been saved that we've made a difference in their life because we cared. In the video, there was a picture, and you might not remember it, but it was a very frail older lady holding a flower pot. Some of you might have caught that. She's by herself, cute little lady. She's 93 years old. Her name's Maria. Maria grew up Catholic her whole life. She knew how to pray the rosary, maybe play it too. I don't know if you can do that, but pray it. She knew how to pray to Mary. She was a good Catholic, went to confession. And she wanted to go to heaven. She was a good girl. She was a good girl and a sweet lady. Her son, Mladen, got saved and is a member of my church. And Mladen got burdened for his mother, and he brought her to church, and she started coming with him to church. And 93 years old, she'd walk in there, and just as she'd smile, and boy, she'd light up the room. One of those kind of persons, you know, when they come in, they just light up the room. So that's how she is, and she'd do that. But she was Catholic, And so she would come, and a couple of times she'd come. And in Croatia, what we do is we lift up Jesus. Amen. It's all about Jesus. Everything we do is about Jesus. Amen. And we preach Him, and it's all about Jesus. And so I was preaching, and I was preaching. And when I know there's visitors there, we don't sugarcoat things. By the way, I know we live in a day in society where we're not supposed to offend anybody. I say hogwash on that. The Bible offends people, and it's time we get back to Bible preaching. And when you preach the Bible, it will offend people. Now I'm not aiming to offend anybody tonight, but I'm telling you, we got to preach the Bible. And that's what we'd do. And so I got to preaching, and I got up there and I said, you know, I said, folks, I said, Mary can't save you. I said, she needs a Savior. I said, the Pope can't save you. He needs a Savior. I said, Peter can't save you. He needed a Savior. I said, the only one that can save you is Jesus Christ. He's the way, the truth, the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by Him. Amen. Praise God for that. We lift Him up. Amen. Somebody walked the aisle and got saved that morning. And I was leaving the pulpit, getting ready to go greet people in the back, kind of like we do here. And as I was walking by, I felt somebody grab my arm just tight. And I stopped, and I turned around and looked, and here's that little lady. She's about this tall, and she's looking up at me, and she had tears rolling down her face. She had my arm right here, and she said, Johnny, she said, I want what you have. I want Jesus. I want Jesus. All she was saying. And then she said, but I'm too old to go to the altar and kneel to get saved. She thought she had to come down here to get saved. Because she's seen everybody else getting saved that way. I said, Maria, I said, you can get saved right here. And she bowed her little head and she prayed and asked Jesus Christ to be her Savior. And she got something that the Catholics couldn't give her. She got Jesus. 93 years old. Thank God the Lord called us to care for souls. Maybe a year later, or some of those hard times, if we'd have quit, might be a little Catholic lady burning in hell. Another lady, 76 years old, named Angelica, one of the members of our girls in our church. It's her mother. She's 76 years old, Catholic. Croatia's a Catholic country, if you hadn't figured that out yet. And that's about all we run into in Croatia, that and atheist. And but Angelica, it means angel, is her name. And she would come to the church, and she's very staunch Catholic. And but she would come. We'd have food there, you know, big days like you do here, friend days and stuff like that. And you know, our people would make effort and everything. And she'd come, and she'd come several times, and she'd hear the message and just not move. And boy, God began to move it over the last 2 years. I was telling you what God's been doing. He's just been moving in a mighty way in the hearts of people, Holy Spirit of God. And as she was sitting there, again, I was preaching Jesus. He's the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Him. Without Him, you're going to die and go to hell. And boy, just lifting Him up as high as a sinful tongue could do it. And the invitation came, and I was looking, and all of a sudden I saw this 76-year-old lady stand to her feet. And I said, if you want Jesus, come down and you can have Him. And boy, Angelico came running to me, and she grabbed my hand just as tight as could be. I stand at the front, 76 years old, and she looked at me in my eye, and this is what she said. She said, I want Jesus. See, I think they're getting it. I think that's why they all got the same thing. I want Jesus. They realize they don't need Mary anymore. They need Jesus. I want Jesus. He's enough. She took my hand, and she got saved. Praise God. About 2 months ago, Angelica had a heart attack and died. I got to preach. Her family asked me to preach the funeral. And that's kind of an awkward thing, this Baptist preacher preaching. It's all Catholics there. I mean, the whole thing was filled with people. And you know what I did? I said, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by Him. I told him, I said, Mary can't save you. The Pope can't save you. At the funeral, I said that. And I said, you see Angelica right here. A few months ago, she received the Lord Jesus Christ. And she's in heaven now. She's not in purgatory. She's not in hell. She's with Jesus right now. And boy, they looked at me like a calf looking at a new gate. But they heard Jesus. But you know, some of them come up to me later and said, that was the best funeral we've ever been at. I said, glory to God, you bet it was, because you heard something you never heard before. It's Jesus. It's all about Jesus. No man cared for my soul. I wonder if we could be guilty of that sometimes. Sometimes we can get all busy in our programs and all that we got going on. Just forget there are people dying and going to hell. And that's what it's all about, that bus out there and the vans and the children's church, all the first responders. It's all about getting people to Jesus. That we might care for your missions program. That takes effort. It takes effort. It's because we want to care for souls. Let us not be guilty tonight of not caring for people dying and going to hell. You can make a difference. You work with somebody. Now, I'm not saying beat them up with the Bible, but they ought to hear from you, Jesus. Don't tell them about your church. Don't tell them how good your church is. Tell them how good Jesus is. You can talk about your church later. Don't talk about your upbringing, your Christian heritage you got. Praise God if you got one. They don't need to hear that. They need to hear Jesus. How wonderful He is. And how He came to this earth to die on a cross to pay for the sins of every man, every woman, and every boy and girl who had put their trust in Him. It's all about Jesus. So let's care for people tonight. Pastor, if you come, I'm going to give it to you, brother.
I've pastored for a while.